The text is Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days. That's what Psalm 90 says. It's the only psalm we know that was written by Moses. So, the man who watched over 40 years as 603,550 men over the age of 20 died. That's an average of over 15,000 a year, over 1,250 a month, over 41 per day. This man prays, teach us to number our days. If that's his prayer, we who are told if we eliminate the risk factors of weight, blood pressure, tobacco, and alcohol, and do the positive things of diet, exercise, and seatbelts, we who are told we can live forever, surely we need to be taught to number our days. Lesson number one. Death is not an if. We act like it is. The Lord knows this, and so has St. James tell us, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Where does James get that figure that we aren't even dust blowing in the wind but water vapor? You heard it in the introit too. Each man's life is but a breath. And that's the word Solomon uses 38 times in Ecclesiastes, translated there, vanity, vapor, futile, empty. David and Solomon agree, a man's life is no more than vapor your breath produces on a cold window that vanishes. Don't you think it's strange that David and Moses both have to pray for the Lord to teach, to show them what Cat Stevens knows? Oh, very young, you're only dancing on this earth for a short while. Moses prays, teach us to number our days. David prays, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You've seen movies where someone trying to kill another finds out how incredibly difficult it is to kill someone. They don't die easily. Well, then there's the other side. How incredibly easy it is to die. General George Patton, 60 years old, had a life of adventure. He fought in almost every major American 20th century conflict. His career climaxed with World War II, where he led corps and armies from North Africa to Sicily to the continent of Europe. He often led from the front, and he almost always delivered victory. His swift conquest of Sicily, his race across France, his relief of Bastogne during the Battle of the Bulge, and his drive into Germany destroyed German armies, saved American lives, and captured the collective imagination of the American public. 8 months after peace, he was in a simple car accident. No one else was injured but Patton. He had a gash in his head, but his neck was broken. He was paralyzed and died 12 days later. John Donne's 17th century poem, Death Be Not Proud, well, that can indeed be spoken by a Christian, but don't you be so proud that you forget that your life is no more than a mist, a vapor, a handbreadth. I see dead people. Remember that all-telling line from that 1999 film, The Sixth Sense? The quirk was that the little girl who said it really did see dead people. And all along, she was telling Bruce Willis what Moses and David are praying to learn from God. The child psychologist played by Willis was dead already. Dead Man Walking, that's a 1999 film about death row inmates. The expression dead man walking is how they refer to the one who's up next to be executed. Thomas Hardy, though, has a 1909 poem, The Dead Man Walking. This is about a man who dies, quote, yet more, as friend and kinfolk pass through the last door before him and left him alone standing. And when his heart's love turned to hate, he died one more degree. Till finally, though whiling the time somehow, and walking, talking, smiling, I live not now. Hardy's death is that of the angst that teens and college kids go through, and generally they grow out of into life. Well, it's just this that Moses and David prayed about. Don't think that by passing out of that existential angst about living, don't think that somehow you've triumphed over death. We are dead men walking. Since the fall, that's how it has been for all born from the fallen Adam. God didn't lie. He told Adam, and it's only Adam he speaks to, which you can tell if you read it in the King James. God's word to Adam in Genesis 2 is, of the tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God does not lie. On the very day that Adam ate the fruit of that tree, he died. And all descendants born of Papa Adam did too. We were all born through death-like pain to teach us we're born to death. Teach us to number our days. Death is not an if, but a when. Animals shot through the heart can go on running, flying, jumping until the false hope that they are still alive catches up to them and they drop. That's us. It's a waypoint of sorts growing up. It can happen young or old. But suddenly it hits you that a parent's death is not a maybe or even an if, but it's a certain when. I was 31, called out of a church meeting in Detroit that my father had a heart attack and was in ICU 100 miles away. I left immediately. Just outside the city limits, I had to pull over. I felt so nauseated, I thought I would be sick. Death had jumped from an if to when, and it looked realer and truer than life. Back to the Patton point. Moses dies at 120, but Scripture makes a point of telling you he doesn't die of old age. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Death is not an if, but a when, and the when is solely in God's hands. Ecclesiastes 8:8 is quite clear. No one has the power over the day of his death. And what does David conclude based on his life being a mere breath or mist? My hope is in you, Lord. What about the rest of the prayer that Moses taught us? Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom that knows for fallen mankind, death has never been anything other than a when, because we start out dead in our sin and sinfulness. You know these passages. David says, I was sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Our natural condition from conception on, says Paul, is to be spiritually blind, to be spiritually dead. And yet to go on fighting against God as our enemy, like the walking dead. Those of us taken aback by almost 2 years of fear-mongering based on sicknesses, shortages, politics, and life, we are hamstrung by the fact that we're trying to deal with reality with blind eyes, dead bodies, and hostile minds. Why are we so surprised by the state of things when Paul says in Galatians 1:4, he calls this age, this present evil age? What did you expect would happen in an entire age that is evil? Or what light did you hope to see in this life that Paul in Ephesians 6:12 calls this present darkness? You all really ought to go home and read those last two passages. The Galatian passage mentions this present evil age in the context of Jesus redeeming us. Jesus, quote, gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of God, of our God and Father. Down into this fallen reality where only dead men are walking, came the living God the Son. Though neither blind, dead, nor an enemy of God, the Son was hounded, hunted, arrested, tortured, damned, and killed to save us from this present evil age. Death stalks us, threatening us, fearing us with the end, when in reality, the end is the end of a sinful nature that has weighted us down with blindness, deadness, and hostility to God our Savior. Yes, go home and read Galatians 1:4, then go to read Ephesians 6:12. Paul mentions this present darkness in the midst of a passage dwelling on how strong we are in the Lord and in his mighty power. We have the full armor of God that we may stand against the devil's schemes. Stand we must with the buckle of truth, the breastplate of holiness in Jesus, the gospel of peace with God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the word. We face the last enemy, that's what Paul calls death in 1 Corinthians 15, like a fully equipped soldier. We face the monster death in the sure knowledge of Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, which some of us sorely need to memorize. Quote, since children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy the devil who holds the power of death and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. This grandiose truth, too good to be believed, gives us courage to sing such craziness as, it is not death to die, and I would not live always. Such craziness was too much, in fact, for the Missouri Synod. She left both those hymns out of her last two hymnals. But this is no new teaching or even a New Testament one. Didn't you hear it in the Old Testament reading? Over 2,500 years ago, through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord tells us, my righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. You've been taught correctly that saving faith has three parts: knowledge of who Jesus is and what he did, assent to those facts, and trust that he did them for you. Well, before Pietism infected Lutheranism, and think non-denominationalism, think Baptist, before Pietism infected Lutheranism, any of the feeling-based churches is Pietism. The fourth part of saving faith was certainty. No more than you want your toddler that you toss into the air to doubt you're going to catch him, does your Lord want you to doubt the arms of Christ crucified will catch you. They catch you in life as you fall into sacred water, into holy words, into sacred wine. And they will catch you in death. When those in Christ fall in death, they fall upwards. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.